Well, yesterday on All Saints' Day, we rejoiced in the glory of heaven, giving thanks to God for the great multitude of holy men and women, the great cloud of witnesses who now behold God face to face as we ask for their prayers. And today, the church invites us to turn our gaze toward those who have not yet reached that fullness of light, the souls being purified by God's mercy as we celebrate the commemoration of the faithful departed, or All Souls' Day. One of the church's most tender observances, because it's both sobering for us and also hope-filled. Right? It's sobering because it reminds us of our own mortality. Memento mori, remember your death. And it's hope-filled because we believe that death is not the end. It's the doorway through which we enter eternal life, through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we observe this All Souls Day especially to pray for those souls, to pray for the dead. And why? Why pray for the dead? Well, from the earliest days, we see God's people prayed for the departed. We see evidence throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, Judas Maccabeus offers prayers and sacrifices for fallen soldiers that their sins might be forgiven. We see from tradition in the catacombs of Rome, the early Christians who carved the names of the beloved dead and prayed for their peace. Why? Because love continues beyond death. Love continues beyond death. God's mercy continues to work even beyond the grave. And that's what we call purgatory. That's the reason for All Souls Day, is to pray for those souls awaiting the fullness of light who are in purgatory, to pray for them. And it's important for us to recognize, you know, as purgatory is not a punishment as much as it's a mercy. It's a great mercy that our Lord gives us. There's a beautiful reflection from Pope Benedict XVI in the Magnificat for today, where Pope Benedict says beautifully, if there were no purgatory, I would go so far as to say we would have to invent it. Because who would think themselves worthy to stand before God, you know, upon death? And that's the gift and the mercy that our Lord gives us, is Revelation tells us nothing unclean shall enter heaven. And St. Paul speaks of our works being tested by fire in his first letter to the Corinthians. We see this in our first reading today from Wisdom, right? Back in the Old Testament. And that image, which if we're looking closely enough, we see that's an image of purgatory, right? So not all who die are perfectly ready to see God face to face. You know, many souls leave this world with faith and love, yet still carrying the remnants of sin, our attachments to sin, the wounds and selfishness that cling to every human heart, any remaining temporal punishment or debt due to sin. But our God is so good that he does not turn away from those who die in his friendship. Instead, he provides a way for their purification. And purgatory is where that purification happens, the hospital of the soul, where love is perfected. Love is perfected and we're made ready for heaven. Our souls are made beautiful. And purgatory is not so much a place, and Pope Benedict XVI also talked about this, it's not so much a place as it's a process. Our Catholic apologetics kind of reminds us how often, you know, maybe when non-Catholics are kind of challenging Catholics on the doctrine of purgatory and kind of looking to Scripture and show me where that is in Scripture. And this is one of those cases where we kind of have to turn it back on them and say, like, show me how it is not in there. How it is not in there from Scripture, because it's there. And here's the beautiful truth, brothers and sisters. Our prayers and sacrifices can help. That's why we're doing this. Our prayers and sacrifices can help. When we offer masses, when we pray, you know, the rosary, or we offer our good works or sacrifices by uniting our sufferings to the sufferings of Christ for the dead, God uses that. He uses that to ease their purification and hasten their joy. And that's why the church calls this one of the spiritual works of mercy. We indeed have a responsibility as Catholics to pray for the dead. This is a great act of charity that continues beyond death. See, the souls in purgatory can't pray for themselves, so they need our prayers. They need our prayers and, of course, the saints in heaven. And purgatory isn't a second chance. So they need our prayers, but purgatory is not a place of no hope. It's not a place of no hope. Hell is a place of no hope, right? Eternal separation from God. Souls in purgatory know they're going to heaven. I heard over and over this week, I think Mother Angelica, some of you know, the foundress of EWTN, who always had a lot to say and had a way of getting to the heart of things. And I heard Mother Angelica say, if I open my eyes and realize I'm in purgatory, I'm going to do a little jig. Because she knows, brothers and sisters, as we ought to know, we're going to heaven. But we need this purification. So we're called to pray and offer sacrifice for the dead. But how do our offerings, how do they truly help the dead? You know, we might ask, well, Father, you know, how can this be, right? Like, isn't their fate already determined? Yes. Yes. Each of us, of course, will face our particular judgment at the moment of death. But God is not bound by time as we are. All moments are present to him at once. So the merits of our prayers and our sacrifices, though offered after a person's death, can be applied by God even to that person's final moments, you know, even in the moment of their judgment or their time of purification, of course, in purgatory, to ease their purification, to hasten their entrance into heaven according to God's holy and merciful will. Like, once again, brothers and sisters, we see how God allows, indeed, he desires us to cooperate in his saving plan. We see this over and over, how God actually wants to incorporate, he wants us to cooperate in his work of salvation. And, of course, Christ is our one mediator who invites us to share in his work of redemption through prayer and sacrifice. And that means, brothers and sisters, that our prayers and sacrifices today can be a part of the mercy that he applied to a soul at the moment of death, that they cooperate with divine grace so that a soul who died without full purification may benefit. Now think about it. Our intercession can be part of the grace that helped a friend say yes to Jesus, help them to repent. And this is actually supported by analogous reasoning for the church's doctrine on the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Lady, who was preserved from the stain of original sin in view of the merits of her son's passion, death, and resurrection. But every prayer, every act of love, every offering at this altar, brothers and sisters, becomes part of his saving work. And the communion of saints is what makes this possible. The church triumphant, those in heaven, the church suffering, the poor souls in purgatory, and the church militant, us on earth, all of us united in Christ's redeeming love. So ask yourself, do I regularly pray for the dead? Do I regularly pray for the dead, for my parents or grandparents, for friends, or for the souls forgotten by the world? It's easy, I think, after a funeral sometimes to sort of move on with life and stop praying. But the dead still need our love. They still need our love and prayers, and they need our love not in flowers or sentiment, but in prayer and sacrifice. And this is something the church has long emphasized, but is often forgotten in our modern times of funerals and memorials. Like, too often we'll hear well-intentioned words like, you know, she's in a better place now, or he's certainly in heaven, right? We can presume heaven. But these words come from love, right? They're meant to help us comfort one another, and that desire to console is good, right? It's kind. But it can unintentionally stop us from praying for those souls. The church never canonizes at a funeral. She prays. That's why we have the funeral liturgy, to pray for that soul. The most loving thing we can do for that soul is to pray. Now, some of the most holy men and women, saints of God, who named and unnamed, have said this to their brethren before their passing. When I die, you better pray for me. You better pray for me. That's the most loving thing we can do. And the most loving thing we can say of our faithful departed is we entrust them to God's mercy. We entrust them to God's mercy and pray. We hope, we trust, we commend, but we do not presume. You know, to pray for the dead is not to doubt God's love for them. It's to cooperate with it, to cooperate with God's love, to love them as Christ loves, desiring their healing and their joy. And if that soul is still in need of purification, our silence, our lack of prayer can prolong their suffering in purgatory. The most loving and honest response is to say, we entrust their soul to God's mercy and keep praying. So here's the invitation before us. You know, maybe it's been years since you've prayed or offered a mass for a loved one or visited the cemetery. As you know, it's always, a spiritual work of mercy to visit the dead in the cemetery, and particularly during the month of November as we remember the dead. And there's, of course, the possibility of an indulgence during these first 8 days of the month of November for visiting a cemetery and fulfilling all the other ordinary requirements. So visiting the cemetery, and sometimes I think that can happen, of course, on the day of one's burial, maybe on an anniversary of their death or their birthday, but it's something we should be doing continuously. So let this day, this All Souls, be just a gentle call, a gentle invitation to begin again. You know, pray, offer sacrifice, acts of love, a day of fasting, and unite your own sufferings to Christ's for the sake of those still being purified. A couple weeks ago, I preached about, you know, the importance of intercessory or petitionary prayer. And well, one of the most important ways we do that is praying for the dead. That's what we're doing. Remember, if the soul for which you're praying is already in heaven, thanks be to God, your prayers are not wasted. God simply applies them to another soul who needs them. In the economy of grace, nothing is lost. Like souls in purgatory, as I said, they can't pray for themselves, but they can pray for us, and they can certainly pray for us when in heaven. This All Souls Day is a profound reminder to us of our hope in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We live in a world that often wants to hide death, right, or treats it with fear, doesn't want to get close to it. But we know as Christians, we see death differently. We see death differently because for us, death is not the end. It's the door to eternal life. When we lose a loved one, we grieve. We grieve rightly. But we don't grieve as those with no hope. We don't grieve as those with no hope. We remain united with them, and we remain united with them in prayer and in the Holy Eucharist. At every Eucharist, because at every Mass, the altar is the meeting place between heaven and earth. That's why we pray at every Mass in the Eucharistic prayer, a remembrance of the dead, as we'll hear in the Eucharistic prayer this morning. Remember, Lord, your servants who have gone before us with the sign of faith and rest in the sleep of peace. Here at every Mass, the living and the dead come together in worship of the same Lord, united in his love. At every Mass, heaven touches earth. Time and eternity meet. And our prayers, our humble offerings are united to Christ's perfect sacrifice of love. So brothers and sisters, let us remember, pray, and hope. Remember those who have gone before us, family, friends, parishioners. Let us pray for them out of love, the most loving thing we can do, and let's hope, trusting that one day we too will be gathered with them in the joy of heaven. And may we too live in such a way that when our own time comes, others will pray for us with that same faith and love. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.